Log Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for
this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Welcome to MGC Radio, and this is your Culture Vigilante Hour. I am your host for the evening. My name is Lisa Payne Nager. I'm broadcasting here from St. Charles County, Missouri, along with my co-host, Dave Court, in Springfield. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are you doing?
I'm great. I had a good day.
Are you enjoying the beautiful weather that seems to be spread all across the state of Missouri here?
I am loving it. My dog is loving it. My yard is loving it. My garden is loving it.
We could use a little rain here in St. Louis. Did you benefit from the rain last week?
We got 3/4 of an inch, yeah.
It missed us like by a mile. It was just amazing.
Is that right?
I gardened all weekend last week and it got no rain. But, you know, we're hopeful for next week. So this is our pre-Memorial Day Culture Vigilante Hour. We have a pretty good lineup for you tonight. We're kind of excited about the guests that we have tonight. We have Chris Arps from MoveOnUp.org. He's our Patriots group spotlight this evening. He's going to tell us all about the Black conservative movement and the Patriot movement. And we have Ann Gassel of Vacation Liberty School. And Brian Hook's going to join us later and talk about the Missouri job numbers. And we're going to wrap it up again with Gretchen from Missouri Education Watchdog and talk about the charter school movement that's going to be moving across Missouri and why that's not necessarily a good thing for education reform. So, like I said, we are kind of in a pre-Memorial Day mode. We're kind of looking forward to the long weekend. I know that I am. But, Dave, you kind of posted some information around the Internet and on Facebook this week about understanding just what Memorial Day means a little bit. You want to kind of talk about that?
Sure, I'd love to. A lot of people are still mistaken that Memorial Day is the same thing as Veterans Day and just a day when we honor veterans for their service. But Memorial Day is instead a day that is set aside to honor those who gave their lives. So a veteran like me, that's not my day. I didn't die. Quite obviously. What I do on Memorial Day, being kind of anal, you know how I am, Lisa. I drive around town and usually end up making about 30 stops to go into businesses and remind people what the flag etiquette is. I mean, I've actually had to do this at government buildings, police stations, fire stations, and remind people exactly what the flag etiquette is for Memorial Day when we honor those who gave their lives for our freedom. And that etiquette, if you are in charge of a flag, is that flag is half staff at sunrise in honor of the fallen heroes, and at noon the flag goes all the way up. So
I never knew that. That's very interesting. That's not something I never knew.
Yeah, it's quite symbolic. It's the half staff in honor of the dead, and then the show at noon that America lives on.
That is very poignant. That's awesome. And thank you for your service, Dave. And I think everybody should make an effort over the weekend, if not at any time, if you know a vet, thank them for their service. Thank them for what they sacrificed to give you the freedoms that we all enjoy today and that we're trying so desperately to hang on to as patriots in America. My dad's a vet. Thanks, Dad. Thanks to all the vets out there. And, you know, I think another very good way to pay tribute to the veterans past, present, and future is to make sure that you go out and vote. We've got August primaries coming up here. We've got a huge general election in November. You know, people fought and died from the very inception of this country to give us the freedom and to give us the voice. And there is no other vehicle to maintain your freedom and your power than voting. And it's so easy. You know, a lot of us are working so hard in the Patriot Movement to rally, to educate, to lobby, to protest. You know, we're spending a lot of time and energy trying to revive that spirit of freedom and, you know, and to kind of re-educate the people, because for generations now we've not really spent the time on civics, you know, raising generations of young Americans to understand how important it is in the country that we live in and to enjoy the freedoms that we have. The easiest thing that you can do is to go and vote, and so many people have given up their power. They don't vote in any election, you know, and it's so easy. It takes a few minutes. You go, you cast your ballot, and you walk out and go on with the rest of your life, but your voice has been heard, and you've made your statement. Go out, celebrate Memorial Day by getting acquainted with the candidates and the issues, and plan to vote in the August primary coming up in August. Okay, let's move on. We've got a great lineup of guests here tonight, and continuing the tradition that I hope to maintain along with the Culture Vigilante Hour on Wednesday evenings is the Patriot Spotlight. We have Patriot groups all across Missouri that have been born out of the Patriot uprising over the last few years, and I think we have a very unique guest tonight. A lot of people don't necessarily think in terms of the minority Patriot movement. We have a lot of Black conservatives out there who maybe don't feel like they have a place or have a voice because maybe the Black conservative movement is not as specifically popular as you might think. But we have a man who has put together an organization, MoveOnUp.org, to help Black conservatives find a place to gather, and they've done just a fabulous job. We have Chris Arps with us. Good evening, Chris. How are you doing this evening?
Lisa and Dave, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, just wonderful, and I'm so glad that you're here. I met Chris a couple of years ago and got to know him through his organization and the wonderful work that he does through MoveOnUp.org, and I just can't say enough good things about what they do there. Chris, from the time that MoveOnUp.org it's new in the Patriot Movement, it's been around a couple of years, probably the inception of the Patriot Movement. When did you first come up with the idea for MoveOnUp.org?
Well, before I start, I want to thank you guys first for giving me the opportunity to go on the MGC radio, and I wanted to second your thoughts on Memorial Day. You know, I have a kind of a personal Memorial Day story. My birthday, May 30th, and Dave probably knows this, is the original Memorial Day. So every you know, few years, my birthday is actually on the holiday, and I can always remember growing up that it always was cloudy or rainy on my birthday. I was always kind of like, why can't my birthday be sunny? But now looking back on it as I'm older, I kind of reflect that, you know, maybe that had something, you know, symbolically that it was kind of always rainy because it, you know, it had to do with Memorial Day.
Well, happy birthday. I think it'll be a nice Memorial Day this year.
Exactly. And it always kind of hurts me when you hear, you know, Black liberals kind of want to opt out of America and say this is not our country. And when you think of the great soldiers that we had in World War II, the Red Tail Airmen, you know, with the movie that's out. And I recently learned a couple of years ago, my great uncle was a Buffalo soldier in World War II that won a Purple Heart and 2 Bronze Stars, and we never knew about it. And, you know, the greatest generation like that never talked about their exploits, but
That's
true. There's a great tradition there, and African Americans have been part of that great historic military tradition since the founding of this country. And, you know, I'd like to see more of that get out, and that's kind of part of the mission of MoveOnUp.org.
Oh, awesome. So how long has MoveOnUp.org been around?
We've been around since the end of 2008. As you know, after the election, the Republican Party was pretty demoralized, and a lot of the leaders were saying that the party needed to shift, you know, more towards the middle. People were saying you can forget about African American outreach with the first black president. You know, it's not going to happen. And you know, I actually agreed. I said that's correct. But after the election, you look at the numbers, and John McCain got 4% of the African American vote, which is terrible. But that 400% equals about 800,000 African Americans who voted for John McCain. And if you go back further to George Bush, he got 8% and 11%. So that's maybe another million to million and a half African American conservatives. So instead of that environment of an African American president and trying to convert Democrats and Republicans, our mission was more to basically kind of grab the low-hanging fruit and organize people of like mind. And we started that in late December and started to found a website that's kind of like a Facebook where people can post web pictures and blog posts and things of that nature. And one of the main things that really got me most encouraged about the site was that people were saying that, I'm glad that you started it because now I feel that I'm not alone. And that's one of the things that kind of encourages us to go forward.
Well, I know that you guys have done some amazing things, and you know, you've honored a lot of black service people, I'm talking about, you know, people who have served their country in terms of elected office. I was at the Meet Me in St. Louis convention that you had last summer, where you honored Sherman Parker. You had a great lineup of guests. That was an amazing, amazing weekend. If you've never seen Star Parker in action, and you ever get the opportunity, don't pass it up. She is the most entertaining and inspiring woman that I think I have ever met. She was just truly amazing. So that was a great event. And you guys are doing some other things as well. What have you got moving in the future?
Well, we are. We kind of skipped this year from having the conference since, you know, the economy is not all that good, and there was going to be the national convention in Tampa, so we didn't want to compete with that, with people having to decide to come to St. Louis or Tampa. But we've got some exciting things that we're doing. There is a movie, documentary movie that came out called Fear of a Black Republican, and I talked to the director of that movie. And we're trying to plan something to have kind of a premiere here in St. Louis maybe the end of next month, and probably try to bring in hopefully a notable name to kind of, you know, have a fundraiser and show the movie. It's a very, very good movie. It interviews a lot of people and really gets to the heart of the matter.
How do you guys generally work to support black conservatives in elected office? But I know you've done that in the past, and I think that there are a growing number of black conservatives rising out there. We have some great, you know, we have some great people in Missouri. We've got some great people nationally. What do you guys do to try to promote that?
Well, one of the things is that was really exciting was the Rally for Common Sense that happened last week in the Holt Summit, Missouri. You know, I've seen a lot of Tea Parties. I've attended a couple of them here in St. Louis, but I've never been to one. There were probably 16 speakers, and there were about 7 to 8 of them were African-American conservatives from different parts of the country. So that was very inspiring to see that locally. Stacey Washington spoke, Kevin Jackson spoke, Herman Cain came in and spoke, Alan Keyes, just a bunch of grassroots leaders. So that was really inspiring. And like I said, one of the things that we try to do is just try to get the message out that you're not alone. And we do that by the website, and we also do that by pictures and video and organizing. And, you know, we get that video out of those folks speaking and, again, reinforces the message that, that you're not alone.
Okay. What else are you guys doing as a group, moveonup.org? There's always been, there's always been a kind of a voice, you know, for the Black Americans to kind of, you know, move forward, you know, take your independence and move forward and pull yourselves up. But you guys really do support the community on a wider level. So what projects have you guys got going?
Well, one of the things that we try to do, one of the knocks on Black conservatives is that, you know, that we sit in ivory towers and we, you know, we tell our fellow African Americans that they need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and, you know, get over racism, which, you know, that is a part of our message is in it, not to make it condescending, but, you know, there are opportunities in this country. And so many times some of our leaders have kind of told the masses that, you know, you've got strikes against you and that you can't compete. And one of the things that we're trying to do, I received a letter from a young man who coaches a basketball team, the St. Louis Bulls basketball team. And it's a bunch of second and third graders that play year round. And they're trying to raise some money to go to the Show Me State games in July. You know, a lot of these young kids come from single families and the female households. So, you know, being on the road and staying at some hotels is kind of stretches their budget. So we've been appealing to some of our members. You know, we've got 1,000 members in 43 states and about 100 members here in Missouri that each person chips in a little bit and adds up. We can really do some good things because the key to inner city is to get these children early into some type of productive activity like playing basketball so that they can learn, you know, sportsmanship and stay out of trouble, you know, because that's the next generation. And
right.
If we can get them on the right path that early, then, you know, we can change minds and change hearts.
I can think of no better role model for, you know, the youth of America than some good, solid Black conservative leaders to kind of show them the way, to sponsor them in an event like that. That's awesome.
That's why I'm really excited about the organization because, you know, a lot of people that I've met online and some that I've met in person at conferences and at different events, those are your future political candidates. You know, you know, one of the main ways and one of the things that Sherman Parker believed in that the way that the Republican Party was going to make inroads within our community was by having elected officials bringing that message into the community that looks like them. And it basically that was the same strategy that Roosevelt used to turn the Black Republican vote into Democratic vote. They carved up districts, they created politicians that could take their message into the community, and of course they, you know, they gave themselves the New Deal. So we have to use that same type of strategy. And I see a bunch of people within this movement that are very articulate, very smart, very capable, that can give the conservative message and can get elected to Congress. One in particular is a young lady in Utah that's a mayor, and she's probably going to be the first African-American Republican congresswoman. So
oh,
I'm very excited about her race. I can't think of her name at the tip of my tongue, but she won her primary by a big margin. And there's hundreds of people like her out there. We just need to spotlight them and get their message out.
Excellent. That's very promising. So you don't have to be an African American to be a member of MoveOnUp.org, Chris.
You don't.
No. How do we contact you to become part of your organization?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.move/on/up.org, and that is our main site. It kind of tells you what our mission is, kind of has some pictures about from our conference with Star Parker. Also, Andrew, we were graced that the late Andrew Breitbart spoke at our afternoon luncheon, and I missed it, unfortunately, but I heard he just, you know, knocked it out of the ballpark. Unfortunately, we don't have any video of that. But, he just did great. And then that site has a link to our community site. And that's where they can join and create their own profiles and upload pictures. And, and communicate with some of our members and join the community. We consider ourselves a big family regardless of your skin color.
Absolutely. And you're on Facebook and Twitter as well?
Yes, ma'am. We are. Twitter is Move On Up, and I think my personal Twitter is CARPS, C-A-R-P-S.
Okay, great. Chris, I can't thank you enough for being with us. We really appreciate your contribution. We look forward to working with you at Missouri Grassroots Coalition and helping to strengthen that grassroots voice. Thanks so much
Dave
for being
Lisa,
with us tonight.
Dave and Lisa, good luck with the show, and thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right. Okay, that's Chris Arps of MoveOnUp.org. It's a great organization. We'll try to feature them on the website and get you some more information about how to join them. And I think we will take a short break, and we will be back with Ann Gassel of Vacation Liberty School. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
So sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Now we're back on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Welcome back. We just spoke to Chris Arps of MoveOnUp.org, a great organization. We're going to try to get some information up on the website about their group and how you can find out more about MoveOnUp.org. Also, wanted to let you know, the Patriot Movement is alive and well across the state. There are a lot, since this is an election year, there are a lot of opportunities for you to go out and vet your candidates. Like I said earlier in the show, we really, the best way that you can exercise your freedom is to go and vote. The best thing that you can do is to go and make your voice heard. Don't pass up the opportunity, the very strongest, most powerful opportunity you have to influence your government is to go and vote. So, on Friday evening, the St. Charles County Republican Central Committee, along with the St. Charles County YRs, the Young Republicans, and the Lewis and Clark Pachyderms, and the St. Charles County Pachyderms, and a few other Patriot Group organizations, are sponsoring a candidate forum. They have invited most of the major, I think they've invited all of the major statewide candidates to come and for a forum or slash debate at the St. Charles Community College in the Social Science Building on Friday evening at 7 p.m. Both of the gubernatorial candidates will be there. Bill Randles and Dave Spence will be there. Perry Aiken will be representing Todd Aiken. I think we'll have Sarah Steelman there. I'm not sure if Brenner will be there. Ann Wagner will be there. Randy Jotti for the 2nd Congressional. They've just got a wide array of candidates that will be there for you to vet, for you to ask questions, for you to see what their stance is on the issues so that you can vote in the August primary. Something I do want to make an announcement for, we talk a lot here about the Educational Freedom Pledge here. If you go to Homeschooling United, we advocate for educational freedom and educational choice here a lot, not just for homeschoolers, but for everyone. And there's a wonderful pledge there that we've asked candidates to sign and elected officials to sign. And I do want to announce that Bill Randles has signed the Educational Freedom Pledge. Dave Spence has declined. He has been invited, but he has declined to sign. So maybe at some point, or even on Friday evening, we can find out why he has declined to sign the pledge. Also, Terry Varner, Dave, what district is the Terry Varner, Gary Romine race for Senate?
That's Senate? Missouri 3.
Okay, Missouri 3. Dave had a wonderful show on Monday night. a forum with Gary Romine and Terry Varner. Terry Varner has endorsed the pledge, and Gary Romine has declined to endorse the pledge. I think his reasoning was that he did feel that there was a certain amount of regulation that was needed for kids to get into college. Unfortunately, he doesn't understand, I guess, maybe the statutes that regulate homeschoolers as well. You know, for getting into college, whether you're a homeschooler or not, you have to be able to pass certain standardized tests to be able to get into college just like everybody else. So I think for that reason, that was the reason that he gave. You know, and I'm beginning to think that there's a large contingent of elected and potentially elected out there who really thinks that there does need to be a certain amount of regulation on of government oversight and government regulation on what they teach our young children, which, you know, hopefully we'll make some changes there in the future. Speaking of education, we have Ann Gassel here. She's here to represent Vacation Liberty School. And we mentioned a few minutes ago that for decades, most of us understand, I mean, I'm, you know, a woman of a certain age, and I went through the public education system, and I did not get a very good education in the civics of our country. You know, there were things that I got now that the kids of today are not getting. It seems to be declining as time goes by. You know, we have generations growing up without the knowledge and understanding of what this government was created on, what it was founded on. And Ann Gassel of Vacation Liberty School is here to tell us how there's a patriot uprising in that area trying to offer education and influence to the young about our the founding of our country and the powers and the freedoms that we are all endowed with as Americans. Ann, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And what a great introduction to what we're doing.
Well, Ann Gassel is immersed in the educational issues. I believe she is a contributor at Missouri Education Watchdog, very, very well-rounded as far as educational issue, educational reform, and a very good patriot. So, Ann, this Vacation Liberty School is a very unique idea. Can you tell me a little bit about how this all started?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, the public school curriculum for the history of our country has changed, and the role of faith in our founding has basically been totally stripped away. And, you know, as Dr. Benjamin Rush said, without religion, I believe that learning does real mischief to the morals and principles of mankind. And it does not matter what system you have for government, whether it's a Republican government, whether it's a communist government, whether it's capitalism, if you do not have a moral people with a faith base of some kind, it will not work. And so our children learn this very limited view of American history. You talked about liberty and you know how we're sending people to fight wars for liberty and we'll commemorate them on Monday. But a lot of our students are coming out of school and they don't really understand what that liberty is or what the responsibilities are for having that kind of liberty. So several years ago, I think it was back in 2009, a 9-12 group in Kentucky developed a curriculum that would put faith, the role of faith, back into the history of our country. And I'm with a group here in West County, a group of women who saw this curriculum and said, we really need to bring this to the students of West County. And so last year we ran our first one that we actually held at Gateway Academy. And it was a great success. This is a half-day program for kids who are entering 5th to 8th grade. We picked those ages because in 7th grade they get their first dose of American history in the public curriculum, and then they get the really big dose in 9th grade. And if all they get is what the public school teaches, they will have a very, I think, warped view of what liberty really is in this country.
Well, so let's go into a little bit more detail. What do you introduce into Vacation Liberty School? What kind of activities do you introduce to these kids? Because you're absolutely right. There's just really not enough detail and not enough true American history, because history is being rewritten here, as we all know, about, you know, how the country was founded and the premise that it was founded on. So what can these kids expect when they go to Vacation Liberty School? What are the activities like?
Well, what's the day like? We try and have them really live these principals out. So we have presentations, we have games that they play, we have some economic games where they learn what a true free economy is versus an economy where you have government influence. And by playing the games on their own, and the games have sort of minimal instruction, they understand the difference between a free market economy and one that is what we have now, unfortunately, which is a government that picks winners and losers. They understand that with a free economy in playing the games that there's risk and they could lose, but they could also come out tremendously ahead. And it's just fascinating to watch these kids, the light bulbs go off as they play the games and they get it.
So, yeah, what kind of reaction did you get from the kids that you were dealing with last year?
Well, you know, it was really funny because I have to admit, on the first day, we had several kids walk in, and unfortunately, the thing that we're doing has the word school in it, and they just got out of school in in May, and having to go back and do something that has the word school in it was not real high on their priority for the summer. But by the end of the first day, we had many of them coming back to us going, can we come tomorrow? Are we going to do more tomorrow? So they really enjoyed this form of learning it. It's not somebody standing in front of them in a classroom lecturing to them. They really do hands-on things. And we try and have them, we have teachers who dress in period costume like the Puritans so that they really feel like they have been moved back in time to the founding of the country and you know, experience what the Puritans went through when they got here, you know, their search for some place to just practice their religion. You know, they came to the United States, well, it wasn't then, they came to America from a government where it was illegal to read the Bible in English, to have a Bible in English, because the church and the state were one. And they only learned what the state essentially wanted them to learn. And so they came somewhere because they wanted to have the full richness of their faith by reading the Bible themselves.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful program and great activities. And from what I understood from the program last year, the kids just had a great time. It was wildly successful. It's something that I recommend that everybody consider for their kids of that age group. Tell me the age groups again, Ann.
It's kids entering 5th to 8th grade in the fall, so basically ages 11 to 14.
Okay, great. And where can we find out about Vacation Liberty School? Is there a website?
We do have a website. It's www.stlvls.webs.com.
And the date for those?
Yeah, and we will be June 18th to the 22nd. And it's going to be held at the Westminster Christian Academy campus in Town and Country.
Okay, awesome. So if you have any questions, go to the website, sign those kids up. When is the deadline for registration?
You know, we'll take kids up to a week before. We just need to do a little, you know, we'd like to have them as soon as possible for our planning purposes, but you can probably register up until a week before. And it's a half-day program, so if kids have other sports and things that they're doing, they should be done. They're done by noon every day, so they should be able to do a sports schedule in the afternoon.
Okay, fabulous. Ann, thank you so much. Vacation Liberty School, folks, go to the web one more time with the web address.
stlvls.web.com.
Okay, go to Vacation Liberty School. Put your kids in there. Teach them about the Constitution. Teach them about their freedoms. Thank you, Ann. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and we're going to be up with Brian Hook next. Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th, and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic.
And the government of the people,
by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome back to MGC Radio. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour, and that dog you hear barking in the background is Hermione, the liberty-loving Labrador, barking at, I don't know what, outside. Liberals walking down the street, I guess. I have no idea. Only during the show does she do that. She sleeps the rest of the day and drives me crazy. So, anyway, we're back. We're glad to have you with us. And by the way, I forgot to give the number at the top of the hour. We would love to have you call in. If you're listening live, call in at 347-677-1835. If you have comments about anything that you've heard thus far on the show or comments from any of the guests coming up, please feel free to call in. We're always glad to have your input. Let's see. What else have we got going here? I want to remind you again about the forum in St. Charles County, the candidate forum at 7 o'clock at St. Charles Community College in the Social Sciences Building. Come and vet your candidates. And we've got Brian Hook back. Brian was here last week with us. Brian writes for the Missouri Journal. He does a great job covering Missouri economics, the budget, legislative issues regarding the budget. And he's been kind of also, the last week or so, he's been writing very heavily on the jobs numbers. Nationally, we're hearing a lot about the unemployment figures, and, you know, they're at 8.9. You know, there's speculation that the numbers are actually much higher than what they are. And we're going to have Brian on tonight to kind of talk to us about what those numbers actually mean. I think that there's a lot of spin in an election year about what these numbers really are. And Brian's going to probably explain that to us a lot better than I can explain it to you. Drives me crazy because I never feel like I'm being told the truth when I hear these kinds of numbers. In Missouri, the unemployment numbers are pretty high from what I understand. And Brian wrote a piece last week where he reported that the jobless claims took a hit last week. However, as reported by the Missouri Journal, initial weekly claims across the state increased by 2,569, surpassing the number of claims in New York, Pennsylvania, and California, along with Texas. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome back, and thank you for being with us. I'm hoping that you can bring some light onto this subject because this is something that just really frustrates me because I don't really believe that when the numbers, the job reports come out, that the numbers are really what they are. I really do believe that there are more unemployed than what these numbers report. And because maybe the numbers are a little bit lower than they were this year last time, they're still really high. So it's kind of like we have a nowhere but up to go situation in Missouri. I'm not really believing that the situation is all as rosy as they're trying to make it sound. Can you kind of clarify that a little bit?
I would agree with most of that. However, I would say that I think the numbers are correct. The problem is you can pick any number of numbers and then spin it numerous ways. So therefore, it adds to the confusion. I mean, the unemployment rate in Missouri is 7.3%. It is dropping a little bit compared to nationally, which is 8.1%. However, you start to look at, you add in people who are leaving the labor force, it's not quite as good. Those numbers are actually getting a little bit better as well. But
is it not quite as good because what constitutes jobless? I think that's the issue.
Jobless has to be that you are considered unemployed when you are no longer actively looking for work.
So if you've, been out of work for, what is it, the 99 weeks or whatever, and your unemployment insurance goes away and you're not looking because you don't feel like you can find a job, you don't register in that unemployment number.
Right, you would not register in that unemployment number. I mean, there are other things, too. The one thing to remember is that these are estimates, and there are a lot of people who are not counted in them. Sole proprietors, for example, contractors, people who do 1099 work, things of that nature. I mean, like, for example, if I, since I'm a sole proprietor, if I would stop working tomorrow and not, I mean, I can't file an unemployment insurance on myself, and if I wasn't searching for a job, I wouldn't be counted among the unemployed.
So all of those construction workers that are out of work because there's not any building going on, it's not reflected in the numbers.
Some of them might be counted. I mean, it depends on if they're collecting unemployed. There's some kind of stipulation I was reading that if you're technically under a layoff and you're expected to come back, that's not counted as the unemployed.
Okay.
And there was some kind of clause in that. So, I mean, there are different clauses and things of that nature. But, I mean, it's one of those things that it's... I'm glad I'm not counting them. It would be hard to do.
Right. Well,
I think the main problem is the fact that either side will pick whatever number they want and then spin it a certain way, and then people just automatically assume that that's the number.
And you wrote last week in the Missouri Journal that Missouri is still among one of the highest states for unemployed.
It was for that. It was for the weekly initial claims that actually Missouri ranked number one, as you mentioned, surpassing New York, Pennsylvania, California, and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1 week. Other weeks we do better. I mean, there'll be a new number out tomorrow, and some weeks we don't even appear in that report because you have to, more than 1,000 people have to file for unemployment that week. So we may appear, we may not. That's sort of a leading indicator, but since they're sort of initial, they might change. It's a good way to sort of guess where it might be going. So the numbers were better, but the leading indicator would indicate that it got a little bit worse. So we'll have a better idea again tomorrow morning when those new numbers come out.
Okay. So let's kind of switch tracks here, and let's kind of do the philosophical angle. You know, it's an election year, you know, people are worried about jobs. Unemployment's still pretty high in Missouri and nationally, and it's an issue in the election. So we've got people campaigning on jobs creation. We have, you know, we certainly heard about it a lot in the last legislative session. What do you think about elected or potentially elected campaigning on jobs creation? What's your opinion of that?
I understand why all the politicians and elected leaders campaign on job creation. What sort of gets me as an irony is the same people who would say that government doesn't create jobs, the market creates jobs, are still out there campaigning that they will create the jobs. I just sort of find that interesting. I mean, for a Democrat or somebody who is a liberal to say that the government creates jobs, that's what they honestly believe. And so the people who are saying, on the other side, who are saying they create jobs better than the other, are they just overlooking how they can change the economic environment and not go into that and just staying simple? Or do they actually believe that they can create jobs if they philosophically think that the government doesn't create jobs?
Well, I think that's kind of the issue, and I think that it's pretty important for the people to speak up because, you know, on a national level, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the intrusive regulation on small business and how it's killing jobs, and there's kind of the attitude, hopefully it gets legs and steam and rises, you know, for people to start screaming back at their representations, you know, and telling them to get the heck out of the way, get government out of job creation and job regulation so that the free market can grow and do what it's supposed to do in America, and stop spinning it, you know, get rid of this tax and increment financing issues, get rid of the, you know, China hub things that we dealt with last year, and just kind of get out of the way, right?
I think it's a harder sell, but I think they would be better and it would be more of an honest approach if they said that here's how they're going to change the economic environment. But it's much easier to get up there on the stump and say, well, I'm going to create jobs better than the other guy.
Right.
And you see, I mean, you see everyone do it from nationally down to local.
Yeah.
I was actually watching, and they were piecing, like Romney, for example, saying he was going to create jobs and how many times together that he was going to say it. But he was not talking about when he was governor of Massachusetts. But, I mean, it was just sort of interesting to see. I mean, every politician does it. I mean, both sides say, well, they're going to create jobs, but no one really goes into how they plan to create the jobs.
And therein lies the rub. Okay. Well, thank you, Brian. I really appreciate you being on with us and explaining that to us, and we hope to have you back soon. Maybe we'll have some clarification on next week's job numbers. Maybe that'll make things a little bit less muddy. Brian Hook, you can read him at MissouriJournal.com, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook as well. And thanks for being with us tonight, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon, and we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back with Missouri Education Watchdog.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Barner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberties of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Barner, and I approve this message.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death!
Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour. I'm Lisa Payne Nager. If you would like to call into the show, please feel free to do so. 347-677-1835. We just spoke with Brian Hook of Missouri Journal. He gave us an update on the Missouri jobs numbers. It's always a sticky issue. There's always a lot of spin, and I think you have to be very discerning, especially in an election year, about how you take that kind of information in. I'm not always sure they're telling you the truth about the numbers, but Brian helped clear it up a little bit. We're going to move on this evening. You know, as we move forward into the weekend, we're also visiting the one-year anniversary of the Joplin tornadoes. It was kind of an interesting week. The president came to Missouri to give a graduation speech, and I think it's also a testament also to grassroots groups. There were grassroots groups from not only just Missouri, but all over the country that sent relief efforts to Joplin. Dave, do you remember any of that story last year about how the Patriot group gathered materials and time and went down there and put their efforts into helping to rebuild from the devastation in Joplin?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there were, and this is one of the things that Missouri grassroots and like coalitions can work toward. There were lots and lots and lots of patriot groups down there, but there was no real coordination or organization to it. And next time we should be a lot. Next time, pray there's not one, but we should be a lot better at that.
Yeah, and that's what the grassroots movement is all about. It's all about, you know, diving in, not depending on the government to take care of business, and people, you know, nobody was asked to do it. They just dove in and they helped, and that's the kind of attitude that we hope to foster and support here on Missouri Grassroots Radio from the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Okay, we're going to move on. We've been kind of rambling on today, and we're kind of running out of time, but I want to get Gretchen Logan from Missouri Education Watchdog. There was a story this week from the Show Me Institute, Audrey Spaulding, wrote an article. Audrey last year did an amazing job of educating the general public and the grassroots about the China Hub issue, and they advocated for not supporting the China Hub and just did a great job in educating people on the issues and giving the great facts. Show Me Institute is an advocate for what we consider school, or what is being touted as school choice. I'm not really sure that I agree with the Show Me Institute on their view of school choice, because they are a supporter of charter schools. And we've had Gretchen on before to talk about the charter school initiative and try to educate the people on what charter schools really mean. It's not what you think. Everybody thinks charter schools are an independent, free form, you know, free from government restriction and government mandate kind of things, so that they can educate kids without the hassles of the typical public school problems. It's not the truth. Isn't that right, Gretchen?
That's right. They are charter schools, but they are under Common Core mandates, other traditional public school mandates, and paid for by taxpayers.
Right. So in this article that came out, I think what they were trying to do was to draw comparisons, contrasts, between charter schools and traditional public schools, and I'm just not sure that it was an accurate portrayal.
Well, I think Audrey's point was is that people should be able to go to schools that are working and not be tied into their zip code. So she had the article about the superintendent who's retiring from Maplewood, and talked about, I think she's been there 12 years, talked about what it was like before she came and now after she's left. She did fire 30 teachers. She tweaked the curriculum. And those were, I think that was pretty much what the idea that I believe that Audrey was trying to make was that by firing these teachers, she was at, there was a property tax increase, too, that the people voted in property tax increase. So with the additional money, they were able to provide a better education. But what she left out from the rest of the article was that this principal talked about how No Child Left Behind mandates are terrible. She kind of, as I responded to Audrey, she kind of thumbed her nose at some of the mandates, according to the article, established a Reggio preschool kindergarten-type curriculum, which is more drama-oriented music. It's more child-driven than teacher-driven, and how that has really helped that particular community. If you put all three of those things together, the autonomy of a superintendent, getting rid of bad teachers, and having sufficient funding to work for, you probably will have a successful school. But what I pointed out was, with the Common Core mandates, with all the federal regulations, the superintendents aren't going to have this autonomy any longer. And I think probably it's a good thing the superintendent is leaving when she is, because if she understood why No Child Left Behind was bad, she certainly understands why Common Core and Race to the Top are even worse.
And it's very critical. We can't drive the point home enough. Charter schools are not, they will not be free from Common Core. They will be under the mandates of Common Core. Is that true?
Yes, that is. In Missouri, that is true.
So basically, you've got a nice little pretty package, a new type of school, all tied up in a nice new bow being presented to the public as something new and better and reforming, you know, from the traditional public education, and it's not.
Well, the only, and I feel very badly for people who are in bad public school districts and they feel that a charter is their only viable option. If they can't afford to private school or they can't homeschool and they say, okay, charter is my only option, the charter will hopefully do better because they can have a different set of expectations. They can have different discipline requirements. They can have
parents and children sign contracts for behavior and expectations as far as academics, studying, that sort of thing. But it's pretty a sad indictment on our public school system that we are anxious to put children in schools where they are, quote, safe or where they have high expectations.
Right. Okay, let's kind of look at this from another angle. Okay, charter schools are the new buzzword. They're the new panacea of education reform. Why? I mean, you just kind of, that's the next question. Why are charter schools going to be better than before? Okay, well, we know that that's really not going to happen. But why are they being pushed?
Well, probably from years and years ago when charter schools were allowed to be autonomous and innovative. The other good thing in a conservative's eyes were that they would reduce the teachers' union leverage. So if you haven't kept up on the charter school issue and you still think that they will give a great education and you're excited that the unions will not be, you know, directing the teachers or administration, you're pretty happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that's probably why some of these, quote, conservatives say, you know, I'm for it because we'll be able to bust the teachers' unions. We'll be able to reduce costs and the influence. But they're still not going to be able to influence standards and assessments.
Right. And charter school, it's an industry now.
Yeah,
you've got
is.
A lot of big money backers buying up these charter school companies and actually are starting charter school companies, and charter schools are really being funded with your tax dollars. So it's a boondoggle. You know, if you are a big roller and dealer and you can start a charter school company, you can go start a charter school funded with tax dollars, and it's a great money maker.
And most of the charter school operators or their management companies, they're managing students. They're not teaching students. They don't have education backgrounds. They're hedge fund funders. They're venture capitalists. That's what they do, and they want to make a profit on children.
Right.
So the main goal is not the education of the children, it's to be able to make money off the children.
Off your tax dollars.
Right.
So we're kind of running, I'm sorry, we're running kind of late. That is really the point that I want to drive home. People need to understand, and we've talked in the past about associations, and we'll have Gretchen on again soon to continue to drive that point home, because I think it's really important that, you know, charter schools are an industry. It's about the money. It's not about the quality of your education. And we really need to educate the public on that fact. Gretchen, thank you so much for being with us. I'm hoping that you'll come back again and talk
thank
more
you,
about
Lisa.
This issue. And
sure will. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
we need to wrap up. Actually, we kind of ran a little long, and we had a lot of great guests on this evening and a lot of great information to put out there to everybody. We have a really great show lineup for you so far next week. We have Bill Hennessy from the St. Louis Tea Party. He's going to talk about the Tea Party and the events that they've got going. They've been a major force in building the Tea Party movement in St. Louis and across the country. Tom Martz will be with us. He's going to help us introduce a segment that I hope to have reoccurring on the Culture Vigilante Hour and help me identify Yankee Doodle legislation. And because we are going into Memorial Day weekend, everybody has a homework assignment. Go out and pick up 3 Days in August. It's a great book by Bob McCarty. He's going to be on next week to talk about that. And also, before you do anything else, go to Homeschooling United and look at the Educational Freedom Pledge there. Encourage your legislators and your prospective elected to sign the pledge and to advocate for educational freedom. It's been great to be with you tonight. We'll be here again on Wednesday night. Join Dave tomorrow night as he stretches the Hour of Truth to an hour and a half, and help him vet some more candidates for you to vote for in the August primary coming up. Go to the Missouri GrassrootsCoalition.org, become a member, and we hope to see you here next week.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.